Hey there, my name is Grant McCurdy, and I'm a worship minister here at The Village Church. Our new EP, Majesty and Gravity, is now streaming wherever you listen to music. We hope that it's an encouragement to you and to your church, and that it stirs up your affections for the Lord. Here's a song from that project called Kingdom Come.
You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you. It's good to be here with all of you. My name is Danny Caslow, and I work in the sending department as a ministry assistant. Today, I'm going to be reading for you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of your surpassing grace upon God for you, thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all? We good? Good. My name's Josh Patterson, one of the pastors here on staff. Excited to be with you, eager for our time together. And I know you've been welcomed, but want to welcome you again if you're watching at home or here with us. It's good to gather, and it's good to be together. I want to start off by telling you a story. I've shared a story about this man with you before, but it's been years, and so I think a refresher is in order. I want to tell you a story about a man that you likely have never met or never heard of, and you won't have the chance to meet him until glory. His name is Harry Tibbles, and Harry Tibbles came from Louisiana, moved his family to Wiley, Texas in 1960, and he soon opened the Wiley Supermarket. Okay, so you can imagine bustling town of Wiley in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Harry Tibbles owned and operated the Wiley Supermarket. Harry Tibbles in our family is known as Granddaddy, all right? And Granddaddy is my wife, Natalie. It's her granddad. And he was a remarkable man. Not just him, but his wife, Retha, who we call Nan. They're precious, precious people. Harry is since with the Lord. He passed in 2006. Nan is still with us. I think she's 97. And they're remarkable. We love them a whole lot. But I want to tell you just a little bit about the impact specifically that Nan and Granddad have had on my family and beyond. And the specific impact of Nan and Granddad is an impact and a legacy of generosity. It's a profound legacy of generosity. In fact, this is not hyperbole. I have not been impacted by anybody more in and around the topic of giving and generosity than I have Harry Tibbles. A couple of examples. So he owns the supermarket. You can imagine in a small town in just east of Dallas, that people were there. This is where the community got their goods, and so he knew the community. He was also a member at First Baptist Wiley since 1960, and First Baptist Wiley was situated just right across the street from the supermarket. And when there were benevolent needs that came up, needs in the church would send this family or this individual over to the Wiley supermarket to get food. And the way that it was supposed to go down is they would take a voucher over there, and then Mr. Tibbles, or Granddad, was to turn the voucher back into the church to get reimbursed for what he gave. And for 40 years, he just collected vouchers and never turned them back in. He just met the needs of his community quietly, faithfully, humbly, generously. Towards the end of his life, recognizing some of the opportunities lacking educationally in Wiley, Harry and Retha, Nan and Granddad, gave the seed gift for a scholarship fund that set up educational opportunities with the Wiley Independent School District. The generosity was far and wide. And it wasn't just to Wiley. I've also experienced it personally. I've experienced personally firsthand the generosity of Nan and Granddad. And I could tell you story after story after story, but there's a repetitive image that is seared into my heart, and it's this. Whenever we would show up for a family event, this was Christmas, Thanksgiving, a birthday, whatever it might be, and the grandkids were there. Now, the grandkids are, that's me and Natalie and our age, and then there's some great-grandkids that were starting to pop up and show up towards the end of his life. And Granddad would sit kind of off to the side and allow all the activity to take place. And it was like he was surveying God's generosity to him in those moments. And he would always get this like trademark tear that would just kind of slip out of his eye and quietly slide down his cheek. It was almost as if that tear was saying, isn't the Lord good? Like, isn't he so kind to me? And he knew his life. He didn't have another 50 years in him. He didn't have probably another 10 years in him at that point. But he was just caught up in the moment of how good God had been to him. And then we'd get up to leave, and he, without fail, he'd come and he'd grab Natalie and he'd give her a big old hug. And then he'd just kind of slip her a $100 bill. And man, I'll tell you what, that was awesome. The whole thing was awesome. I have no idea where that $100 went. It is long gone at this point. But the impact is not. Like, it's just seared onto my heart. When I think about finances, when I think about generosity, when I think about giving, when the Lord has given me an example in my family to be able to look at and to say, this is how I want to live. With all the allure and the temptation and all the things that I am drawn to, I'm not putting this on you. You may not be. I am. But to have this countercultural example, to have this gospel picture for me to say, I have tasted and seen how good that is. That's what I want. That's what I long for with our lives. This is a legacy that I long to walk in those footsteps and have for myself as well. And so when I think about a topic or a sermon on giving, and I know for some of us, it's not what we want to hear. I know it can well up a whole bunch of different emotions. Some of those emotions may be excitement, eagerness, cheerfulness, as we just read in the text. For some of you, it may be shame, reluctance, skepticism. It's like, oh, another sermon on giving in a church. I'm just not ready for that. And I have no intention to shame or guilt or to trigger any kind of unpleasant emotion in anybody. I am trying to paint a picture of gospel generosity and say this, isn't that good? Isn't that good? And what the Apostle Paul is going to do in 2 Corinthians 9 is he's going to lay out for us a picture of gospel generosity. He's going to lay out a picture of what a grace-driven giver looks like. A generous grace giver is motivated by a couple of things. A generous grace giver, Paul is going to show us in 2 Corinthians 9, is motivated by an inward gospel reward and an outward gospel response. That's my sermon. That's my key point. A generous grace giver is motivated by an inward gospel reward and an outward gospel response. Let me see if I can unpack that a little bit for us. This inward gospel reward, as Paul sets it up, he's writing to the Corinthians and he's saying this to them. Hey, look, there are needs in Jerusalem, and I'm coming to you to receive a gift from you, which you have said you will give, and I am so thankful for it. This is essentially the way that he set this up. And he's saying, hey, the Macedonians, they've given too. And when we come, I pray you're ready in heart to give. And let me remind you about a couple of things as it relates to giving. And that sets us up for chapter 9. And in verse 6, let me read this to you as we think about this inward reward. I want you to listen for words like all and every. He says this. In verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. The first inward reward that you and I need to know about is this. There is an inward reward of personal provision. Look at me, church. There is an inward reward of personal provision where you can say for your life, you can testify. Not that you heard about or you read about, but that you can say, He has met my needs. He is my sufficiency. He has made all grace abound for every good deed. He has seen me in every season, and He has carried the day. He's faithful. Now, it's one thing for somebody to get up here and to stand and to testify to that, to read about that, to know that that's true generally. But church, what Paul is saying as you and I take steps forward in personal generosity, in personal giving, then you and I have the opportunity to say and to believe and to see God demonstrate His faithfulness, not to the church, but to you, to me. He is meeting my needs. A reward for me is that I get to see it. I get to testify. I get to stand up and say, isn't He faithful? And if we had time, I am confident we could go around this sanctuary and you could give stories and we could hear stories of how God has met your needs. In seasons of doubt, in seasons of scarcity, in seasons of frustration, in seasons of confusion, that God has stepped in and He has seen fit to meet your needs. And you get to say, I got the reward of that. I got the reward of that. And what Paul is saying here is be eager, be cheerful is a word that he gives in your generosity, because in your giving, you're letting go of something and trusting, oh, He'll meet my needs. He's done it before. He'll do it again. I believe Him in that and for that. He is faithful. And so a question that we've got to consider and ponder is this. Does that motivate me? Like, do I long to see that happen for me? Do I long to take steps of obedience and generosity and give and let my hands go of these things and then wait and see? And wait and see Him provide and meet needs. Do I long to see that? And here's the deal. The reality is some days I do and some days I don't, right? Some days I'm like, yes, yes, right? But Paul is saying here, this is an opportunity to step forward in faith and see that the Lord is faithful. But there's a second inward reward that Paul talks about here, and it's the reward of personal increase. Now, when you hear personal increase, there's teachings that float around out there, not teachings from the Apostle Paul, but there are teachings that float around that say something like this. It's this prosperity type mindset. If I do this, God will give me something back. If I give money, if I give 10, it'll give me 100. That's not what Paul is saying here or anywhere else in the scriptures, but he is talking about an increase. He does in this passage say that if you sow, you will reap. There is an increase at stake here. And before I jump into this, man, I long to see a bunch of things increase in my life. I long to see my retirement fund increase. Am I alone in that? Can I get an amen? Does anybody long to see theirs decrease? Okay. I long to see my debt load decrease. I long to see my savings account kind of hit that magical 6 months of savings. I long to see that. Anybody else long to see that? Right? I long to see some things increase here. I long for these things. I've got 4 kids, 4 college tuitions to pay for, 3 daughters, 3 weddings. Dear Lord, may some things increase, okay? What Paul is saying is, Josh, there will be something that I guarantee you will increase as you step forward in generosity. Look at it with me. He says this in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What's the increase coming my way? Well, the increase is a harvest of righteousness. What is Paul talking about here? What does that mean, a harvest of righteousness? What he's saying here is not what he said in 2 Corinthians 5. The righteousness where he says this, there is a righteousness that comes from Christ positionally when I put my faith in him. It's the righteousness that I get at justification and salvation. That's not what he's talking about here. That was chapter 5. What he is talking about here is sanctification, that as I step forward in generosity, my heart begins to soften and change. My heart begins to be tenderized to the things of the Spirit as I begin to look and to recognize needs and step forward in meeting those. As faith begins to take root even more in my heart, as the clutches of this world begin to loosen and I begin to give in generosity, there's a harvest of righteousness that begins to take hold in my heart. And I actually begin to look like the God who gives. You see, if you drop all the way down to the end of the chapter in verse 15, Paul says this, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Think about how generous God has been to you. You think about how generous God has been to you and to me. Think about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he," what? "He gave." He gave his son. "And if the Lord never gave me another dollar in my days, he has still given me all that I need." We believe that? Like, if he never gave me another dollar in my days, he has still given me all that I truly need in Christ. And some of us in here may say, yeah, but you can say that because you got a dollar. But what if I don't have a dollar? Well, isn't that what he's talking about here? For those of us in here who are struggling financially, who may not have the opportunity of choice, that the very thing that he's talking about here is that we walk forward in generosity so that we might meet the needs of those in our community who do not have. Like, you know this, and I know this. When I leave here, I personally have this choice. I can go home and eat because I already bought food, or I can go to a restaurant and eat because I have the means to pay for it. Now, lest we lose touch, there are those who don't have that same choice. And for the church to be the church, we step forward in recognition of God's abundance to me and to others so that we might generously move forward in looking and surveying and meeting the needs of others. It matters. Then for those of us who have the means of choice, it's not a time to pat ourselves on the back. It's a time with lowliness and humility to say, "Lord, you have been gracious to me. How can I not? How can I not be gracious towards others? You have given me the most valuable thing in all of eternity. How can I not?" You know, the New Testament and all of Scripture has no category for a stingy believer. It's just not there. Those two things don't jive. And so the question is, we think about our motivation. Am I motivated to move forward in generosity by these inward gospel rewards of personal provision? I get to see God move in my life. And then two, that I long for a personal increase. I want to look like the Savior who is generous, like the God who gives. I long for that. Well, the motivation isn't just an inward motivation. There's a motivation outwardly that I also get to see a gospel response. So we have this inward gospel reward and an outward gospel response. Let me fly through some of these responses. We'll see these in verses 12 to the end of the chapter. The outward response that generosity gets to see is this: needs are met, God is glorified, thanksgiving is given, obedience is demonstrated, charity is contributed, and intercession happens. I'm going to say that again because it's a lot. Needs are met, God is glorified, thanksgiving is given, obedience is demonstrated, charity is contributed, and intercession is given. Right there in verse 12, for this ministry, the ministry of this service, what's he talking about? The service of giving is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God because of the proof given by this ministry. What is the proof that Paul's talking about here? What Paul is saying is that when you and I walk forward in generosity, there is an alignment between what we declare and what we demonstrate. There's an alignment between what we declare and what we demonstrate. The proof given is God has radically changed my life. He has been radically generous to me. Therefore, I long to be radically generous with others. And Paul is saying a mark of the believer is that you and I would have this aura about us, that of generosity, that it would be said of us, is what Paul is saying, that it's a proof given, a demonstration of what we actually declare with our mouths. And he said that many thanksgivings will go up to God. His name will be glorified. Needs are going to be met. People contribute to these needs being met. And then he says, then there's this intercession given. You don't have to raise your hand with this, but think about a time or a season in your life. And the question is this: has somebody stepped forward and met your needs in some season of your life? Like, has somebody seen you in that season of struggle? When you had legitimate needs and somebody stepped forward with a legitimate financial solution. Think about what that does in your heart. Think about what that stirs up in you. And what Paul says here, the church in Jerusalem, as they received this gift with all humility, that their hearts began to turn upward in thanksgiving to God as his name was glorified. Father, you have seen us. You are meeting our needs. And then they bring the believers with them through intercession. And would you bless our brothers and sisters who have been generous to us in this? Would you bless my friend? Would you bless this person? So you think about how intercession begins to be interwoven with generosity. And as you've been on the receiving end of a generous gift, did you not give thanks to the Lord for that person? Was your heart not so moved to respond the way that Paul talks about here? This past week, our staff, and I want to share something that I think is really remarkable that we've been able to do, and you've been a part of it, even if you didn't know it till right now. Every year, the elders have evaluated our budget, and our budget every year, for a long, long time, as far back as I can remember, we have had a generous surplus. And that generous surplus is due to the financial generosity of you. You have given faithfully and generously. And so what the elders do in the month of November is we look at the surplus and they set aside a generous amount of money. And then the staff gets together just like we did this past Wednesday. And in our getting together, we divided up into teams and we got to prayerfully consider the needs of our body, the needs of church planters, the needs of missionaries, the needs of single moms, the needs of neighbors, the needs in the community, the needs of organizations who may not find themselves in the same financial situation that we find ourselves in right now. And then we divide up into teams and we prayerfully consider who we might be able to give to. And again, that giving doesn't happen without your generosity. Like Wednesday doesn't happen unless you step in and generously give like you have given year after year after year. I just want you to hear the fruit of this giving. So at the end of our time together on Wednesday, there's a coming back together. And there's 15 different groups, and we get to hear name after name after name after name, the need present and how that need is going to be met. Church, we're church planters. Church planters who are going to be able to take the gospel into new communities. There are missionaries all across this globe who will just get a gift that says this: we see you and we believe in the work that you're doing. Stay faithful in it. There are single moms in our body who you don't know it now, but you're about to get blessed. And it's not all of them, but it's some of them. There are neighbors who are not believers in Christ that our staff lives next to and has been ministering to, who find themselves in places of financial struggle, whether it's due to COVID or some other season, who here in a few days will have the opportunity to receive a check that they have no idea is coming. And the hope behind all of this is simply this: we see you. More than that, the Lord sees you. He is meeting your needs. Lift up your heart. Stay the course. Be encouraged. Know that you're loved. You are not alone. What a great gift. Well, that doesn't happen, church, if you don't generously give like you have given year after year after year. Just like Paul says, needs are being met. Thanksgiving is going up to the Lord. His name is being glorified. Intercession is being had. How good is that gift? How good is the Lord to you and to me? And so if we think about this inward reward and this outward response, the inward reward of personal provision and personal increase, this harvest of righteousness, this outward response of genuine, tangible needs being met, overflowing with thanksgiving to God, does that not stir up in us a desire just to take a step towards generosity? And no matter where we find ourselves on that spectrum, hilarious, cheerful givers or reluctant, does that not stir up in you as you think about what's the opportunity before us just to take a step further towards generosity? Let me end with this. I told you how I know about Granddaddy. It's not because he told me. In fact, he did all of that giving quietly and anonymously, and much to his chagrin, the word got out. And the word got out like this. You know, people talk. People talk. And the conversations over the years started sounding something like this. You know, we fell on hard times, and he would hate for me to say this, but, you know, Harry Tibbles, they provided some meals. They gave us some groceries. They wrote us a check. You know, the Tibbles, they provided a scholarship for our high school senior to be able to take that next step towards college education. Y'all, it was over and over and over and over again. And then the community, as they start chatting, it was like, well, he did that for you? Well, he also did that for my neighbor, or he did that for me. And eventually the community said, we need to respond to you. We need to do something in response to how generous you have been to us. And near the end of his life, I think one of the hallmark legacies of his life is now in Wiley, Texas, Tibbles Elementary. There's a school named in he and his wife's honor. And we were there as a family to celebrate, and the ribbon cutting and all that you do for that. And there was that tear, just that trademark tear that he just couldn't get over how good God had been to him. And the last few years of his life, he spent in the library of Tibbles Elementary reading books to kiddos. And he's passed, but his legacy hasn't. And his funeral was astounding. Now, here's the deal. I have no idea if Harry Tibbles was wealthy or not. I don't know. I for dang sure know he was generous. He was incredibly generous. And church, may we be that kind of church that is just staggering with our generosity. Not so we get the attention, not so that we get the fame, not so people look at us, but they might see our God, who is a gracious and generous God, and our generosity is simply reflective and responsive to the God who gives. Let's pray towards this end. Father, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. You truly have been so generous and kind to us. And so the question in my heart is, how could I not step forward in faith and trust, knowing that you have met my every need in Christ, that in Jesus, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm is mine. Lord, I pray for our church that it would be so that there would not be an unmet need among us. That the church would be the church, the body would be the body, not only for ourselves, but for this community, that we would step in trust and dependence, and then unashamedly reap the reward of declaring God is faithful. Reap the reward, a harvest of righteousness where we look more like the generous Father who gave us his Son, and celebrate that needs are met and God, you're glorified and your name is exalted. And we would gladly receive the prayerful intercession on our behalf. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.